In Ezekiel chapter 48 and the verse 35, we have the words, "The Lord is there." As they're ending in the margin, it's one of the Jehovah titles, Jehovah Shammah, meaning "The Lord is there." Ezekiel began his prophecies at a time when the nation of Israel was at a low ebb. The sun of its glory and strength had set. The night with its shroud of darkness had surrounded the nation. Ezekiel, in his visions, he foresaw the holy city overrun by the enemy, its walls broken down, its temple destroyed, and its glory dead. It appeared that Israel had been delivered from bondage in Egypt, only to fall into bondage in Babylon. But Ezekiel not only saw the desolation of Jerusalem, he also saw the restoration of it. And the crowning glory of its restoration is the fact that the city shall be called Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there." With these words, Ezekiel's prophecy reached a great climax. Can you imagine what comfort, cheer, and hope these striking words instilled in the hearts of the captives down in Babylon? Oh, this was a bright star of hope for the future. Jerusalem, beautiful for situation. The priests would be there. The 12 gates, with all their splendor and glory, would be there. But its crowning glory is the fact that the Lord will be there. All of Ezekiel's hopes and those of Israel for the future were gathered around the staff of the Lord's presence. To you and I, the future mercifully is veiled. We cannot tell what even a day will bring forth. We cannot tell what the future holds, but we do know, we do not know what trials it will present, what mountains of difficulty it will lay at our feet, what challenges it will confront us with, what opportunities it will afford us to serve our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. But like this prophet, we can gather all our hopes around the pledge of the Lord's presence with us. Oh, get a hold of this truth. Fasten it in your mind as a nail in a sure place. Take it with you throughout your pilgrim journey. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. So what can we say of the Lord's presence with his people? We can say four things. First of all, it is a sure presence. What was it that caused the Lord to withdraw his presence from the midst of his people, from his sanctuary? It was the sin of idolatry. If you turn back in this book to chapter 8 and verse 6, the word came to the prophet, "Son of man, seest thou what they do?" Do you see, Ezekiel, what the people are doing? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here. There is sin. There is idolatry in the camp. Do you see it, Ezekiel, the great abominations? That I should go far off from my sanctuary. Every man, it seems, is in the chambers of his own imagery, of his idolatry. And even when this wickedness was abroad, Lot was not more reluctant to leave Sodom than the Lord was to withdraw his presence here in Jerusalem. If you come with me to chapter 9 and verse 3, we see the reluctant steps in the withdrawal of the Lord's presence. Chapter 9, verse 3. And the glory of the God of Israel, or the Lord, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. First of all, the Lord withdraws to the threshold. And then in chapter 10 and verse 19, we find the Lord at the door of the east gate, or the foremost door of the sanctuary, to denote his removal from it. And when we reach chapter 11 and verse 23, we have the final step in the withdrawal of the Lord's presence. The glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. This is the last stop in the Lord's departure, and he waits here to be called, to be entreated back. He's still, as it were, within earshot, ready to return. How reluctant the Lord was to withdraw his presence. The Lord is greatly troubled when it comes to parting with his people. We note how he reasons with his wayward Israel in the words of Hosea chapter 11 and the verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Sebom? Mine heart is turned within me. You can see mercy interposing four times with the word, the use of the word, how. And why is it so? The verse 9 says, I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. Oh, as the Lord had pledged his presence to his ancient people, so he has pledged it to us. Only the most wicked abomination can cause the Lord to withdraw his presence from our hearts, his dwelling place. It was a dark blot on the character of the people when in Rephidim they asked Moses, is the Lord among us or not? They raised the question as to whether the Lord was present or not. And Moses, before he was taken to glory, he urged them in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16, never to raise such a question again. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Oh, whatever our circumstances, whether the day be cloudy or dreary, the Savior is always there. The psalmist, he pondered where he could flee to from the divine presence. He said, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Jonah, he sought to flee from the presence of the Lord. But in that most unlikely place, the belly of the great fish, he learned that the Lord was there. When the three Hebrews were cast into the burning fiery furnace, they found that its flames, its heat, its searing heat, could not exclude the Lord. The form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Mary Slessor, the Dundee mill girl who became the uncrowned Queen of Calabar, she said, "If I have ever done anything, it is because the Lord always went in front." She realized the Lord's presence with her. The Lord will go in front, making the crooked places straight and the rough smooth. He has pledged his presence, and it is the word of him who cannot lie. Remember Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." This is the one verse in the Word of God, and you can read it backwards, and the meaning is the same. "Thee forsake, never will leave thee, never will I." Oh, there is an emphasis in the original that the English fails to convey to us. "I will never, no, never leave thee, nor ever thee forsake." I'm so glad I have learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me and will be with me to the end. It's a sure presence. Only the most wicked abomination can cause the Lord to withdraw his presence. It's a sanctifying presence. We think of Joseph's experience in Egypt. There in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2, we discover that the Lord was with Joseph. This is a significant thing. The Lord was with him. He enjoyed the Lord's presence in Egypt. And Potiphar, the verse 3 says, his master saw that the Lord was with him. He could not help but notice that the Lord was with Joseph. And when Potiphar's wife laid the snare, Joseph, he fled. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Can't you see that the presence of the Lord with Joseph was a sanctifying presence? It set him apart. And you cannot be in the presence of Christ and not be conformed to his image. Those in whose presence you spend time, you cannot help but be influenced by them. Moses was in the immediate presence of the Lord on Mount Sinai for those 40 days and nights, and the result was that the skin of his face shone with the divine glory. It set Moses apart. The Lord's glory was that which he had with the Father before the world began, an unfading glory, a transforming glory. And those who, like Moses, abide in the Lord's presence, they are changed into the same image. They are transformed so that the Lord's glory is seen in their daily round. Oh, our testimony will count for nothing if it is not matched and backed with a godly life. When the presence of the Lord is with us, then the fruit of the Spirit will be in evidence. The flesh will be mortified. We will be a spiritual and not a carnal people, heavenly and not earthly minded. That's indicated to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and the verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelleth in you? And the question is, does the Lord's glory radiate from these temples, these bodies of ours? We have a very wonderful truth in Psalm 29 and the verse 9, speaking of the temple. Psalm 29 and verse 9. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. In the margin of your Bible, note carefully that every whit, speaking of the temple, every whit of it uttereth his glory. Oh, may every whit of our lives display the divine glory. May we be changed from glory to glory into the Lord's image. And then, this is not only a sure and a sanctifying presence, it's a strengthening presence. The Lord promised that his presence would be among his people from the beginning. It was a real and a felt presence. In Exodus chapter 23 and the verse 20, this word came to Moses as he faced enemies in possessing the land. Exodus 23 and verse 20, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. I send an angel. It's the angel of the covenant. It's Jehovah that's with Moses, the one who appeared to him at the burning bush and proclaimed himself the I am that I am. And in verses 22 and 3, we see these words, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. The Lord is with his people. He's the strength of his people. He's their strong arm. We remember when the reins of leadership were put into Joshua's hands. This cheering word in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 was given to him. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, nor be dismayed. I will be with thee, Joshua. I will strengthen you. What a heavy burden was placed on Joshua's shoulders. He must take the people across the Jordan, though it was in full flood. That formidable city of Jericho, with its walls stretching, as it were, up to heaven, it must be conquered. The people must possess their possessions. But Joshua was strengthened, fortified by the presence of the Lord with him. And we say, I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be through sunshine and cloud? Lord, abide with me. David was strengthened. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The strength, the strong tower of his people will still uphold us and enable us as we seek to live for his honor and glory. And then lastly, we can say that it's a satisfying presence. The presence of men with you and I is not always satisfying, as Job experienced. He had to say to his friends, or of his friends, miserable comforters are ye all. He asked the question, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? There was no satisfaction from that human friendship. But oh, how satisfying is the presence of the Lord with us. As the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons, take the goods to thyself. So redeemed souls say, give us thy presence, Lord, and let the men of the world take its vanities, its trivialities, and divide them among themselves. Those that have tasted of the presence of the Lord cannot but long for more, even as those who savored the grapes of Canaan long to be there. You can glean something of the satisfying presence of the Lord with his people in the life of Moses. When the prospect of Canaan lay before him, the presence of the Lord meant more to his heart than its milk and honey. He prayed, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Job valued the presence of the Lord. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He longed to be always in the satisfying presence of the Almighty. How pained in heart the bride was in the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 1. The absence of the Lord to her heart was a great cross to bear. She says in verse 1 of chapter 3, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Even sleep she had to forego it. She could not sleep without the Lord's presence. It was so dear and precious. And the new creation, the soul born from above, cannot be satisfied with less than abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. We remember Mary at the empty tomb, there in the presence of the angels. In John chapter 20 and verse 11, we discover that Mary stood without weeping. As she wept, she stooped down, looked into the sepulchre. She saw the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet of where the body of Jesus had lain. And the angels said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." Nothing could satisfy Mary's heart but the one to whom she referred as my Lord. It's the Lord who shows us the path of life, and it's only in his presence that there is fullness of joy. It's the presence of the Lord that will turn life's storms into calm. It's winter nights into spring days. It's prisons into palaces. It's troubles into blessings. It will make life's heavy afflictions light, its long afflictions short, its bitter afflictions sweet. Of heaven, we can truly say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. In Psalm 17 and verse 15, the psalmist said, "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Satisfied then in glory to the fullest extent. When we're called home to glory, we will not change our company. We will change our place, but not our company. What rejoicing there will be in his presence. When our banished grief and pain, when the crooked things are straightened and the dark things shall be plain. Is this your hope? Is this the hope that pulsates in your heart today? If death should thrust its warrant into your hand, unsaved soul, it cannot be said of the place to which you must descend. It cannot be said, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Echoing above the cries and the sighs and the groans of lost souls are heard the words, "The Lord is not there." The Lord is not there. It must be hell itself to be banished from the presence of the Lord. Oh, do not halt in your sin. Do not linger on the broad road that's taking your soul to destruction. Do not halt until you can say, "Christ in me, the hope, the guarantee of glory." May you repent and believe the gospel. May it be well with your soul. May you be brought to new life, to eternal life in Jesus Christ. Yes, the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. May you this morning be altogether persuaded to be a Christian. May you come to the knowledge of our great God and Savior. This so great salvation, may it become your possession. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts.